Welcome back to Clearwater, Florida. We're at Bright House Networks Field. It used to be Bright House Networks Field. Now it's just Bright House Field. And we're in a rain delay. That's why you're hearing from me. It is the rain delay program, 416-870-0590. So we adjust the microphone. Sorry about that. Star 590 on your cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. It has started to rain again. The rain's kind of moved in and out, and the wind is blowing just incredibly towards right field. So it is sweeping these clouds out of here, and there are brighter skies behind. But we're moving over from the Gulf, where the wind is coming off the Gulf of Mexico, so don't quite know what it's bringing over for us. But right now it is starting to rain again, and we are in a rain delay, have been for 12 minutes now, with the Blue Jays leading the Philadelphia Phillies by a score of 2-0. I'm Mike Wilner. We're going to take your calls. We'll also take your tweets. You can find me at Wilnerness590 on the Twitter, and prefer the phone calls for this segment. So if you want to tweet me, pick up the phone and call. Again, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Tom Young trying to show me the radar, but it's too far away. I'm too old to see that far, so I can't tell you what's going on. But what I can tell you is that it's raining here, and it is windy as all get out. But it's not raining hard enough that everyone has run for cover. There are a bunch of fans still hanging out around the Phillies dugout, around the Blue Jays dugout, as the Jays haven't abandoned their dugout either. Well, a few of them have, but Brett Laurie is still walking around in the dugout, the clubhouse right behind, so it's not too hard to get back and forth. It appears as though Roy Halladay and Ricky Romero have left for the day, though. This delay enough to make them go back and finish up in a covered batting cage or bullpen. Romero will be driven back to Dunedin to do it there, and Halladay will just do it here. The interesting thing is the Blue Jays really didn't bring that many pitchers, so one wonders if a phone call's been made to the Bobby Maddox complex to send a few more arms over, and we'll see who's on the mound for the rest of this game if it should be restarted. Again, we're in a rain delay. 2-0 is the score. The Blue Jays lead the Phillies. Ricky Romero threw two perfect innings, 4 groundouts and 2 strikeouts. Roy Halladay threw 2 perfect innings, except for the first 3 batters of the second, when Edwin Encarnacion took him deep, Eric Thames doubled off the top of the wall in left center field, and Brett Laurie singled Thames home. Let's get to the phones. It is the Rain Delay Show, and Zach in Markham, you're going to lead us off. Welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot. Just a quick question for you about Jeff Mathis. What do the Jays see in Jeff Mathis?
What? Say that again, sorry?
What do the Jeff Mathis, he's struggling big time this spring training, right? And I just don't understand.
But spring training numbers don't mean anything. You have to remember that, right?
That is true. But the thing is, like, with Aaron Sebia taking days off sometimes, do you think he's that backup catcher that the Jays need for power and getting on base?
Jeff Mathis?
Yeah.
No. But that's not what he's here for. He's not here to provide power or to get on base. He's here to be a backup catcher and someone who probably plays maybe once a week, 30 games, and does a great job defensively behind the plate, and anything you get from him offensively is a bonus. I mean, he's from the same school of Jose Molina and Raul Chavez before him as Blue Jays backup catchers.
All right, I appreciate it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's about it for today. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for the call. I mean, you're not going to find... I understand that people want to have a great player at every position and then a great player backing them up at every position, but you're not going to be able to find a complete player to act as your backup, because they're not going to want that kind of job. Especially a guy like Mathis, who was a non-tender candidate. The Blue Jays traded for him, but he would have been a free agent in a couple of weeks had it not happened. You know, you have to kind of figure out what you want, and it would be great to have somebody who contributed all that. But why would you then, you know, then you have an issue. Why is he your backup? Why isn't he starting? Or can't you get more for him in trade than just using him for 140 at-bats a year? So you got to pick. Do you want a defense-first backup catcher, or do you want an offense-first backup catcher? And generally, those offense-first backup catchers don't play defense very well at all. And for the Blue Jays, it was more important to have a guy who calls a great game, who throws out runners, who's an incredible athlete behind the plate, and legitimately who has not hit at all in the major leagues. He has been one of the worst hitters in the major leagues since his career began. And it's a mystery as to why he's been so bad, but he's been pretty bad. And there's more in that bat. There's no question about it. But the Blue Jays decided they wanted a defense-first catcher, and they went with Jeff Mathis. And now Tom Young is bringing the Blue Jays Radio Network Weather Center right over to me. And there is rather a large pocket of mess that is it's coming from the Gulf and over, passing over Clearwater right now. But there really doesn't seem to be anything behind it as we expand our map. And I know doing weather on the radio when you can't see anything, there is a little bit of a system coming in behind it. But that right now, it's pretty south of us, and it may pass to the south. It may get through us and not touch us. So the wind's moving as quickly as they are. This, I can't imagine this is going to be a very long rain delay at all. So while it's here, give us a call, because of this rain delay, chances are we are not going to have time for the Jays talk after the game. It is raining right now, but we're looking at skies that are a lot lighter and a lot less ominous than there were even half an hour ago before this rain delay started. The temperature, though, it's amazing. The temperature has dropped 17 Fahrenheit degrees in less than an hour. We started this game at 84 at 107. It is now 157 Eastern time, and the temperature is 67 degrees. That's just amazing. And Celsius has gone down from 29 to 19, 10 degrees in less than an hour. But it looks as though the system is going to move out, and we will have baseball. We have no idea who's going to be playing baseball, because the outfield is now soaked, and I'm sure there's lovely drainage here, but I'm equally sure that John Farrell and Charlie Manuel are not going to risk any starters. We may see the infielders stick around for a little bit. Definitely not Brett Laurie, I'm going to say, because he's had groin issues already this spring, and we know that the starting pitchers are gone. So stick with us, because it's still a baseball game, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and for some strange reason, they're playing Sweet Caroline here. But right now, we're taking your phone calls. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. In the rain here in Clearwater, Gaytan is in Markham. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mike?
I am well. I'm dry. That's nice.
Good. Yeah, yep. It's good to hear. Listen, long-time Jays fan. I remember the Jays winning 92-93. I was young, married. It's nice to see the Jays winning again today. My concern, though, this season, and, well, this is only spring training, but they haven't lost any games. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how they're going to face adversity, you know, when the season starts, because they're 22-4 now. They're not going to go through the season like this. What's going to happen when they start losing? What's the psyche on this team? I'm curious to see that. And what are your thoughts on that,
Mike? I'm not concerned about that in the least. They're actually 22-5 now. They lost yesterday. But these are professional baseball players who have been through a lot in their careers, and they've lost a lot of games, and they've won a lot of games. And the fact that they've barely lost this spring has been wonderful, and it's been a lot of fun. But it certainly, I don't think, is... it certainly hasn't prepared them to not be able to deal with losing. There's going to be a five-game losing streak for the Blue Jays this season, and there might be more than one, and there might be longer ones. And, you know, they're not going to win even close to 22 out of every 27 games that they play. It's impossible. It's never happened, and it's never going to happen. They understand that, and they all understand, I think, that baseball at its core is a game of failure. And I don't think they'll be adversely affected by a losing streak.
But who in that clubhouse, who are the guys in that clubhouse that, you know, are going to step it up and say, you would expect a guy like Laurie, the stars, but, you know, there's a lot of players on this team, and are they all there ready to play and compete? Because they do have a chance this year.
Yeah, I think they have a chance, too. I think a lot of things are going to have to go right, but a lot of things have been going right so far. You know what? It's interesting to watch the dynamic in that clubhouse because, you know, I would have expected you to say, you know, Laurie's going to be a guy who will step up and say something. But he fits in really seamlessly. He and J.P. Arrancibia seem to be kind of joined at the hip, but and they also are hanging out with Ricky Romero all the time. And the stars on the team hang out together. And Jose Bautista fits in with every group on this team. And he also is, you know, he's always there with Encarnacion and Escobar in that corner of the clubhouse, whether it be in spring training or during the regular season. And it's not like someone has to jump up and say, all right, let's go. But they all do. It's really very much a seems to be a unit. And I really do like that. And hey, Ricky Romero hasn't left. Ricky Romero's coming back. The rains have stopped, and Bruce Walton and Ricky Romero are walking back towards the dugout. So maybe he's not done. Maybe he'll come out and maybe just through an inning, and he's going to sit down. And the skies are brightening. Now the rains have stopped. We are going to get going soon. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. And I'm assuming that this rain is not going to last much longer. And we may see Ricky Romero continue in this game. Very interesting. I'm going to see if I can find out for you, because that's what I do. And while I do, let's listen to Ken in London. Hello, Ken.
How are you doing there?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm pretty excited about the Jays this year. I got tickets for 7 games.
Excellent. Maybe you'll pick up tickets for another 75. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, I think that a guy texted you about Brett Laurie hitting where he's
hitting. Yes.
And I think the perfect place for Brett Laurie is leadoff.
Why?
He's got an average. He's got speed. He almost hit an inside-the-park home run if they hadn't held him up the other day.
I mean, isn't that one of the reasons not to lead him off? He's got power.
You think so? Well, he's got both.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, do you want a guy who can
power too?
Do you want a guy who can hit 35 home runs at the top of your lineup?
Well, he gets on base.
But I don't you want him to be able to drive people in?
Oh, sure. But I mean, he could drive the guys that get on near the end of the order.
But the guys that near the end of the order don't get on as often as the guys who.
I don't know.
Like that's the thing. That's why your power.
I hope I see him this year.
I don't think you're going to see him leading off ever. To be honest with you. No, I mean, you're right. You make it, you know, all your points are right. He's going to lead this team in stolen bases, I believe. He's
yeah,
got
sure.
a ton of speed. He's also going to lead this team in triples. And I would wager sometime in the next couple of years, he's going to break the team record for triples in a season.
Sure.
But
don't
he's also.
Leading off a game with that kind of energy that he's
no.
got?
No, I want him coming up with two guys on base. I don't want there ever to be a time in the game where Brett Laurie is guaranteed to come up with nobody on base.
Well, let's put it this way. If you name one guy on that team right now that you'd like to see up the most times during a game, and if he's hitting leadoff, he could be hitting one or two more times than he would be in the fourth or fifth spot, or sixth, or
well,
seventh.
Not two.
Huh?
You can't hit two more times than anybody else in the lineup.
No, another time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You do, and I don't. I would rather have Jose Bautista up more than anybody else, because he's the best hitter in baseball. And
right.
while Brett Laurie is very exciting, you know, Brett Laurie is very exciting.
But what's Bautista hitting this spring compared to Laurie?
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
I mean, who cares? It's the spring. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. Anything.
Okay. Well, you may not like the next point I have.
All right. Well, hold on. Before you make the next point, let me just tell you and tell everybody that they're coming out to take the tarp off.
Okay.
So things are moving, things are happening, and we will have baseball, and we'll have it soon. But the tarp is coming off the field, and the umpires have emerged from their room, and there are baseballic activities going on around the field right now. Your
Great.
Second point.
Okay, second point here. Why did it have to be the competition left field for Eric Thames and Travis Snyder? Why couldn't it be the whole outfield? That Kobe Rasmus, they got him. He's supposed to be spectacular. He hasn't done nothing. And Travis Snyder's got a real good arm, good on the bases, and the guy was hitting unreal.
I understand that you really value spring training numbers. And I understand that now.
Tell me what numbers Colby did last year when he was with the Jays.
It doesn't. I don't know. He hit 178 or something with the Jays.
Right.
But so what he did in St. Louis doesn't count, is what you're telling me.
He didn't do that good, or they wouldn't have traded him.
Well, there are a lot of reasons why they traded Colby Rasmus. Most
we're
of which was
finding out now, aren't we?
No, I don't think we're finding out any of that.
I think
No. We're done. You're not making sense. I appreciate the call. I'm not going to allow irrational Colby Rasmus hate or irrational Kelly Johnson hate on the program this year. I've had too much of that over the course of the winter. So thank you for the call. The question of why was there not an overall outfield competition is a valid one. I can understand why people might think that Colby Rasmus should have been in that same competition because we have seen that Travis Snider can play center field. But Colby Rasmus is an accomplished major league player, both offensively and defensively. And yes, he had two brutal months for the Blue Jays last year. One of those months he was playing with a busted wrist. But he has shown that he has hit and played defense at an extremely high level at an extremely young age. And he is far more accomplished as a major leaguer than either one of Travis Snider or Eric Thames. And he's a legitimate center fielder. Snider might get there someday. Right now, Snyder's a guy who you can put in center field and he'll be solid. Rasmus will be more than that. The tarp's being picked up. We still have a while for our rain delay program. Let's go to Guy in Toronto. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Mike. It's a good segue that I was going to bring up the Rasmus thing too, but my question isn't more, you know, towards a negative thing. It's just, you know, there's a lot of question marks obviously on this team, and it's kind of a good thing and it's an exciting thing because we don't know what we're going to get out of a lot of these guys, but we have a lot of hope for, you know, the Brett Lowrys and the Colby Rasmuses and whatnot. But I'm just curious, if he does struggle, Colby Rasmus, that is, like he did last year.
Yep.
And he's not, you know, running out the infield hits or, you know, running out the balls in the outfield.
Yeah, he doesn't do that, though. You know that's just a myth, right?
Well, he in the outfield, he gets to the balls easily because he's
right.
And he's very talented that way, so I get that. I'm guessing more in the hitting thing.
Same thing on running, right? When you see Rasmus, and I'll let you get back to your point, but when you see Rasmus going up in the outfield, and it doesn't look like he's running hard, but he gets to the ball, that should be the hint that even though it doesn't look like he's running hard up the first baseline, the ball's also only beating him by about half a step on a routine grounder. So he's very Devon White-ish in that he looks like he's gliding, doesn't look like he's going hard, but he's actually moving really, really quickly.
Well, I get that point, but you got to realize where there's smoke, there's fire. And for Tony La Russa and him not to have gotten along, there's obviously something behind the scenes that we're not all seeing here. And that's
so you weren't a fan of Scott Rolen either?
I like Scott Rolen, and
Tony La Russa didn't get along with him.
I understand that, but if there was more to it than just La Russa. I mean, obviously there was things that we heard last year, and that's what I wanted to ask you. If we start hearing these rumblings again with a Colby Rasmus, and, you know, I'm not saying he's not going to get along with Farrell or whatever. I understand he's in a happy place right now from what I hear. But if it happens, I mean, let's face it, when you're struggling out there, sometimes your attitude changes every day when you get to the ballpark. And I guess my question is, you know, if we see that happen, because this team is a very upbeat team and they seem to all get along and there's a lot of team camaraderie, is that something that, you know, you think Anthopoulos would address right away, or would he have a longer leash with a guy like Rasmus? And I'll hang up and listen and keep up the great work.
All right, I appreciate it. I don't like the question, though. I mean, I don't like the hypothetical negative stuff. Like, what if something goes wrong? Why can't you think, well, what if it's a clean slate and it's a fresh start? And you look at how someone like Yunel Escobar has come over. You look at how someone like Brett Lowry has come over. Bad reputation guys with other teams who have been just terrific as Blue Jays. And why wouldn't you believe that the same thing would happen with Colby Rasmus? I mean, I can't imagine they're going to let him hit 170 for 2 months and keep him in the lineup every day and not, you know, not show us a lot of Rajay Davis in center field. And if it gets really, really bad, not show us, maybe give Travis Snider a shot. But there's no reason to expect that Colby Rasmus is going to hit 170 for 2 months in the major leagues. It's, you know, this guy, this is a very, very good baseball player who's also been very good, very young. And there's, I understand that people don't want to hear this, but that matters. To have had a great year at 24 in the major leagues means a lot. And so, no, I expect nothing but positives from Colby Rasmus this season. I appreciate the call. James in Toronto, you're next.
Hi, Mike. I know it's not even April yet, but I want to jump all the way ahead to...
It's almost April. It's April tomorrow.
Yeah, we're almost there, but I want to go all the way to July.
Okay.
I think it's probably likely that come that time, we're going to be looking at a team that is somewhere around a playoff spot, five games plus or minus. And I want to talk about the trade deadline. I think if I had to guess now, I think the need is going to be starting pitching come that time. And I wanted to know who you think would be available. Like, who are the pitchers that are sort of on non-contending teams or near the end of a contract that would be potential targets if the Jays were in a position to need one?
You really want to talk about that? Really? I don't want to talk about that. I mean, well, that's like, let's let the season happen. And... who knows? You know what? If the Blue Jays are in contending for a playoff position, then that means that their starting pitching is going really well. And it means that they've got, you know, that hopefully, well, it doesn't mean, but hopefully you've got a Drew Hutchison or a Deck McGuire or a Chad Jenkins ready to come up and contribute like Henderson Alvarez did last year. And I don't know that you want to give up assets to get a guy who, for a rental. Now, you might. You never know. But that's way too much speculation for me, much more than I'm willing to do at this point. Though I appreciate that you're thinking that the Blue Jays are, you know, going to be buyers at the trade deadline. I'm very interested to see how the trade deadline plays out now that there's no more Type B free agency. But that's a long way off. And we're still in spring training. I mean, let's let the season play out a little bit before we start thinking about stuff like that. The tarp is off the field. The umpires are on the field, and so are Brett Laurie and Yanel Escobar and Kelly Johnson, Colby Rasmus and Eric Thames. And we're going to have some baseball very shortly here in Clearwater. We'll sneak in a couple more calls here on the Rain Delay program. Natasha is in Toronto. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to quickly make a statement and ask a question. So,
sure.
In terms of Ricky Romero, I just find that, you know, he improves every season, and I think it's really refreshing to have a pitcher like him. And I remember last season after the All-Star break, batters were only able to hit 193 against him, which is really good. And I remember him talking to the media about his relationship with JP and how they read each other really well, which is also a really good thing. But as a huge Romero fan, do you think he's going to stay consistent? Because, like, I hate to bring up the past, but because I had so much optimism towards him as a pitcher, but I remember that last season, towards maybe the last 6 or 7 weeks, he was finding it really difficult to find his pitch and pitch how he wanted. He walked a lot more batters than we expected him to. He was deep into counts, and he was taken out by, like, the sixth inning in some of those games. But regardless of that, he still found a way to get out of that slump and continue to pitch really well. So I just basically wanted your thoughts on what you think will happen with him for the season and if he's going to stay consistent.
With Brandon Morrow?
No, with Ricky Romero.
With Ricky? Yeah,
yeah,
well, Ricky, I don't remember him having problems late in the season at all. I mean, he had that little run where,
right.
But it was kind of in the middle. And like you said, he came out of it. And there wasn't really that much to it. I think it was maybe 4 starts. But I think your point off the top was the best one. He's gotten better every year, and that's such a rare thing to see from starting pitchers. And, you know, I mentioned Morrow, and we saw Kyle Drabek last year, and things like that. It's so rare that you see a pitcher not hit a bump in the road on the way up and continue to develop and continue to get better year in and year out, and Ricky's done that. And so I do believe that he's a guy that you can actually count on, and you pencil him in, top of your rotation, and he will give you ace-like work. And,
right.
I have all kinds of faith in Ricky Romero. It's astounding that he's never had a bump in the road, but he had a few in the minors. So mm-hmm. I think that's where we're going to see it. Natasha, I appreciate the call, but I got to let you go because it's time for baseball. Raul Valdez has taken the mound. Ricky Romero is done. I noted that I saw him walk back into the dugout, but he walked back in the dugout, spoke to the media, and has left. So he's finished after 24 pitches and 19 strikes. And the Phillies are back on the field. We have had a rain delay right now of 36 minutes. And we're going to start the top of the third in a 2-0 Blue Jays lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. Looked like Robert Coelho has gone down to work in the Jays' bullpen, and it started to rain again.